you know, it's interesting because at 8:30 was the first time I got to look at John's message right when I got up to read it. So it was kind of fun to see his start off of his message were his examples of the storms he's faced in life, which I think is kind of neat as a married couple to see what he thought the storms were. And now I've had a little chance to think about what I thought the storms were. And I wouldn't have even remembered one of the storms that he remembered because it didn't really faze me at all. See, he grew up in Dayton, which many of you know is surrounded by large bodies of water. No. Smelly rivers. That's all. So when we were in Ocean City, New Jersey dating, we were on a mission project, and part of the project was to get connected or adopted by a local family. And I somehow lucked out with a family everybody wants to get every summer when they go because they've never had any children, and this is their opportunity to be parents. So we went to any restaurant that they felt like going to. We got to see all the sights. They had their own sailboat that we got to go out on. And so I loved it because I grew up on the boat in Lake Erie, and we went fishing, and, you know, it was great. It was like coming home to me. John, however, as we've already established, did not share the same experiences as a wee child. So we went out on the boat, and a big storm came along. And he went, get back to shore. We got to get back to shore. And I was thinking, you know, this is no big deal. You know, storms come in. We'll turn around. Everything will be fine. We'll get back. He was a little frazzled by that experience, so much so he has it here. I wouldn't have ever remembered it again a day in my life if I hadn't seen it on paper there. Isn't that interesting? We all face storms differently. Some storms seem really bad to us. Some storms are just a rain shower. It depends on our perspective. It depends on our experiences. Now, the one he has here second, I'm so glad I get to be the one to tell you the story because he never tells it right at all because I love this story. So I grew up in Cleveland, which you've already established. Cleveland means what in the winter? Snow. He grew up in Dayton, which means you don't have weather at all. So he comes up from Dayton to visit me. And he hits 271, which probably a lot of you are familiar to Beltway. Goes around the east side of Cleveland, way to bypass some of the downtown traffic. If we're getting a bad snowstorm, you avoid the snow belt, whatever. Usually gets a pretty decent amount of snow, but it's Cleveland. We take care of the roads. We know what to do with snow. You shovel, you plow, you drive slow. You don't change lanes through the slush. You know all the rules from birth. He grew up in Dayton. They don't have rules. They just drive. So he's coming down 271, and the problem he hit in Cleveland is nobody can plow the snow when it just starts coming down because, you know, it just started, which means you slow down, and you do what all the other people on the road are doing. And John and his little, whatever, Thunderbird, whatever piece of garbage he was driving at the time that didn't have heat, he's driving along, and who knows what he was doing out there. And he said all of a sudden his car spun around, and the traffic was going this way, and he was facing that way in the middle of the freeway. Got his car turned around, pulled off the side of the road, and just sat there. He tells me it was for days. I think it was probably about 10 minutes. I clutched the steering wheel so tightly, my knuckles were white. I'm sure that's what he'd be telling you right now. I find it hard not to tell the story without laughing myself. But you're not taping this, are we? Oh, sorry, honey. So, you know, this is a big deal to him. He still, to this day, remembers the day he almost died coming to visit me. Again, you know, we're sitting at home at the house thinking, boy, it's real pretty snow today. That's a heavy one. We could build snowmen in that. That'd be a good snow angel. He's about to die on 271. This is what we're thinking at my house. Storms are slightly relative, and it all is based a lot on what storms we faced in our lives before and what methods we've used to weather them. You know, you grew up in Cleveland, you put down everything when you know the threat of snow is coming. If you're in Kentucky, here's the storm story I remember that I would have shared. My grandmother, who has lived in Chardon, Ohio, her entire life, okay, Chardon, 72 inches of snow in 48 hours, normal stuff, Chardon. She's in Wilmore, Kentucky with me when we first moved down, and she came and stayed with me for a while because John was still in Dayton. She wanted me to be alone. It was great. It was the best time I've ever had with her lover. So thankful for that time. We're going past some of the stores, and we had to go back and do a double take because the store had a little sign. It's like noon, sun's out. It's cold, but whatever. It has a sign, closed due to the threat of snow. Now, my grandmother's 87 years old. She may forget a few things, but doggone, if you ask her about Kentucky, that's what she's going to tell you. They close things when they think it might snow. It's all about perspective. Do you know why they did that? Because while we were in Wilmore, we got 14 inches of snow, and a bobcat had to come plow out our street 3 days later because we couldn't get out. How you handle storms depends on how prepared you are for when they come. Right? Okay. So, storms can be really cool. We know there are a lot of, we were listening to one of the guys in that video who's a storm chaser. We love Reed Timmons. We love the Storm Chaser show. We love to watch it. I would love to go do that someday. I am fascinated by storms. They just are so powerful and unexplainable, and we don't know how it all happens. But it's so fascinating that we just can't help but watch. Because there's a little bit of adventure, and a little bit of fear, and a little of the unknown. But none of us wants to see what happens after the storm, right? Wish we could just see the storm and just the storm, and it never touched anybody's life. But that's not the way storms work, whether they're real, physical, tornadoes, hurricanes, or all the things that get thrown at us in life that we never saw coming. Or maybe we did see coming, but we just couldn't avoid. Well, Peter knew all about that, and we're going to talk a little bit about him today. In fact, Peter knew the basic principle of life. Storms will come. In case you didn't know that already, newsflash. Storms are going to come. You can't avoid them. They are going to be there. And the disciples and Peter experienced one in Mark 4:35, 41. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was." I wonder what that means. You know, was he just all dirty and just spent, and he'd been preaching all day, and this man had to be tired and a mess. So they took him just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. That's a bad storm. That would be a scary storm. Well, guess what? In true disciple fashion, they were terrified. What are we going to do? There's a storm. Somebody help us. We had a horrible storm here Saturday night. Some of our fellow pastors were in Lakeside, and they said the tornado alarms went off twice. And they had to take their kids to walls because none of the homes have basements. They were driving up to the churches to see if they could break in to get down to the basements. We also had a pastor from our district who was killed that night. She was driving home from a hospital in Toledo where her husband had had a stroke, and she and her two daughters were visiting. She, Kathleen, was driving in the front car. Her daughters were in the car behind her. The tornado came along and swept her car away, and the daughters watched it all happen as their roof was being crushed by the same tornado, and they were pinned in it for an hour, waiting to get help. No one saw that storm coming, or the storm that had to follow when the girls had to go back to the hospital the next day and let their dad know what happened. Storms will come. Physically, they will leave scars, as we have been told, that the recovery, we survived the hurricane, but the recovery is killing us. Storms are going to come. They are going to affect everything we own and wash it away. They are going to threaten, even worse, to affect everything we believe and wash it away. And we have to be prepared for the storms. John's got a story about when they went camping and... Oh, I love this story so much. I wish he was here to tell it, because he does tell this one better than me. Don't tell him I said that, though. Probably he tells it because I wasn't there, but I still love the story. He and his family went camping. I don't remember what state they were in. They were out west somewhere, you know, dirt and lots of rocks. And so they drive up to this campground with this beautiful lake and all the sights, you know, it's just like your choice of spots. And they hear his dad singing, "This is great. I can picture Martin with his level. Everything's perfect to set up whatever. I don't know if they had the pop-up or the tent, but it's going to be perfect. We can get anything we want. Oh, this is, you know, he probably an eighth of a degree off. Let's move over here." You know, it was exactly what they want. They got the choice pick. They had a great day, perfect weather. It was beautiful. They go to bed for the night, and then the storm came. And it was a storm. Everything's washing away. They're throwing the kids in the car. They're laying on top of them. They're picturing, you know, Wizard of Oz picking up the truck and just carrying her off to another land. And lightning, thunder, hail, you name it. It was the storm of the century in their minds because they're out in the middle of nowhere with no place to go for shelter, nothing. That's why it was open, because nobody camps up there because they all know the storm's coming there and it gets really bad. Nobody gave them the memo. Sometimes we can avoid the storms if we ask the right questions, right? Sometimes we can avoid the storms in life if we make the choices that are educated and wise, or we learn from the people who have gone before us. Okay? The storms are going to come. We have to be prepared. One of the ways we get prepared is we check your foundation. We go to the beach. Many of you have been to the beach. You see how they build their houses. What are they getting ready for? The storms. What if the tide comes in too fast, too strong? What if the wind gets too strong? We've got to be up high enough to avoid the flooding from the ocean. We've got to be strong enough to face the winds of a hurricane. We have to be prepared for a storm. Well, we're the same. So here's what Matthew tells us about being prepared in Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Do you get that? You can hear the words, but it doesn't make you ready unless you're putting them into practice. I can tell you to put your house on strong stilts, but if you don't do it, you're still going to get washed away in the storm. You have to be active. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. A foolish man built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. My kids, every year when we go anywhere with a lake and sand, want to build a sandcastle, right? That's like human nature. And every year the little girls build it right at the water. And so they dump it out, and they run and get more water, and they come back, and it's all gone. And so then my very wise older children come and move them about an inch further away from the water. And they build it, and they go get water, and they come back, and it's all gone. So then mom and dad say, here, let's go up here. We can bring you the water. And so then they can accomplish because they're building further away from the water. But eventually the tide comes in, and what happens? Still gone. How many times have we read Three Little Pigs to our children? The bricks are what did it, folks, right? They kept the wolf at bay because they were built on the rock. They were a solid foundation. We're given the same solid foundation. We have the same thing in God. He's given us His Word. He's given us His people. And He's given us a history of people who've weathered storms before us and still come out with their faith intact and greater than it was before the storm. It's up to us to put into action whether we're going to read those stories and apply them to our own lives. Psalm 92:24 says, but the Lord has become my fortress, my rock in whom I take refuge. This is what we have all been called to ask ourselves. When we are faced with a storm, whatever it is, what are we standing on? Are we standing on the sand holding on for dear life, or are we calling out that we believe in the rock and whatever comes our way, we aren't going to lose our focus on that? Because here's the hard thing to do sometimes in the middle of the storm, is to remember that God is with you. Right? Sometimes when we get in the middle of a storm, especially one that's emotional, we kind of shut down and shut out anybody around us. We don't want to talk to anybody, maybe. Maybe we just don't want to hear what they're saying because it's going to be a little bit too hard or a little too painful. Maybe we just don't think they know what we're going through, so how could they listen to us? We come up with all kinds of good reasons to be alone. And it's really, really easy to not remember that God is with you because you've shut out everything that reminds you that He's there. That is why we have to be faithful with each other to remind each other constantly that God is with us. He's with each of us. No matter what the storm face we're facing, no matter how we're feeling, because it's not based on feelings, this is a fact. He is with us. So the disciples are out on the boat, I'm sure very calmly, you know, watching Jesus asleep. I'm sure that really encouraged them. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 4:38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The man had been preaching all day. He was tired. He'd been walking all day. Of course he was asleep. They should have been sleeping too. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he's probably thinking, are you people crazy? Have you and I laughed too? Absolutely. These people were funny. What were they thinking? Of course he cares if they drown. Look at all the things that he had done for them. But don't we sometimes feel that way in our own lives? When we're in the midst of the really painful and we think, okay, God, where are you? What are you doing? I thought that you were here in control. Are you sleeping at the wheel? What are you doing? Do you even hear me? Do you even know I'm here? Do you even see what I'm going through? And that's how the disciples felt. Here's something that maybe will encourage you. In Mark 4:33, it says, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Jesus spent all his time teaching to big groups of people, and he'd give them little riddles to figure out. It's kind of like when your kids come to you with their homework problems and say, I don't know what they want me to do on this page. Well, it says to cut out the picture and color it. Oh, So the first step might be you want to read the directions, right? Which really equates to, I don't want to take the time to do the work. Mom, what do I do? Or they come and say, what's 4 times 5? Well, it's adding 4 plus 4. You know, add 4 together 5 times and you'll get your answer. Oh. No, see, this is where we have to step in and think for ourselves, kids, right? Isn't that what we're trying to teach them as parents? Think for yourselves. And God did that with us, with the parables. You have to think for yourselves. But for his disciples, he said, it's okay if you don't think for yourselves. I'm going to help you out with this one. And this is the encouraging part that I was talking about. Because sometimes in my life, I look at the disciples and I say, how could they not get who Jesus was? They're right there with him. They can see him. They can touch him. They can hear his voice, like, really coming out of his mouth. You know? How don't they get it? But I think God encourages me that way to say, it's okay if sometimes you forget who I am, Aaron. Because the disciples walked beside me and they forgot too. Because I'm so great, you can't understand all of me. I'm so mighty and powerful and awesome, you can't grasp it all. So it's okay if you lose sight sometimes. I'm still here. Just don't forget that part. And so that's why he gave the disciples the cliff notes, because he knew we wouldn't get it sometimes. And you know what his message to the disciples probably would have sounded like? I'm going to spell it out for you in black and white, because you have to know, because when I'm gone, you're it. Tag team, I'm out, you're in. It's all up to you. So you got to understand it, cover to cover. And you know what? Who are the disciples now? That's us. So if we need to check the cliff notes with each other once in a while, that's okay. God's point is he wants us to know clearly what he's left behind is our encouragement, is our scripture, is our body of people, so that we're prepared to minister to a world in need and to each other. So, we've got these poor guys in the boat, scared out of their minds. Jesus is awakened now because that he doesn't care about anybody. Oh, jeez. Okay, so what are we supposed to remember from all this? Our next point is that we have to keep the faith, because sometimes in the storm, even if we remember God's there, sometimes we forget that he's God. Okay, you may be here, that's great, but why aren't you fixing this? Why isn't it getting better? I believe in you. Fix it. Well, what if that's not what's supposed to happen? We're called to be faithful whether it's easy or hard. And we're called to be faithful in the times that we get challenged the most on what we believe and what we're supposed to do for other people and how we carry them through. And here's where Jesus was challenged as they're telling him, don't you care that we drown? So in Mark 4:39-41, he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, if I was the disciples, I'd be thinking, oh, man, how did I not see that one coming? Or maybe I saw it coming, and I just should have thought, okay, if he can do it, why isn't he? But, you know, when you're in the midst of the storm, your instant reaction is, oh, there's a storm. We got to get it. We got to get safe. We got to fix everything, right? And that's where they were at. So he calms the storm, and he says to his disciples, why are you still so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And in the midst of all this, they still asked each other. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They still couldn't see clearly who he was. There's our encouragement. It's okay if we lose sight sometimes. But Jesus' reminder and his call to them is, you have to have faith. You have to have faith in me. And the interesting thing about this is, I wonder how long they waited till they went to him. How long had the storm gone on before they got scared enough that they finally called on him? How long do we wait in our storms? A few hours? Days? Years? How much time gets away before we finally fall on our knees before God like he's asked us to and say, I give up. I can't fight this storm alone. You need to fight it for me. I'm sorry I didn't come to you faster. Just show me what I need to do and who can help me along the way. Because God kind of needs to let us get to a point sometimes where we have been terrified and maybe freaking out a little bit because we're not really sure what to do. Because only in those moments sometimes will we really get a full glimpse and take the time to look at how great a God he is and be reminded of what he can do in our lives. He's got a couple examples here about barbecuing, but you don't want to hear my examples on barbecuing because he does all the barbecuing and I don't do a very good job at it, which is why we've kind of made that arrangement in life. He told me very early on, if you do all the cooking, I'll do all the cleaning of the dishes, but I'll barbecue for you. And I said, we have a great marriage here. this is a good process. But what he does say that I think is really encouraging is that he says that praying over time is like adding seasoning to your life. When you put tenderizer on meat, you have to let it sit for a while, right? Gets a little more pliable, a little bit easier to chew. Gets more tender. And that's what when we apply faith to our life, that's what happens to our heart. We start to tenderize ourselves, our soul. We start to be open more to trusting that the seasoning takes time, but that in the end, God is molding us into something pliable to make what he needs us to be. Because that's really our end goal in life anyways. So our reminder from the storm is that Jesus says, don't lose faith even in the midst of the storm. It's still all under control. I just need the storm in your life right now. And maybe that storm in life is getting you ready to help people who are facing greater ones in their life that you're going to come across here. Because see, here's the thing about storms. Some storms last longer than others. Peter cried out and made the storm go away immediately, just like Jesus. Here's another storm that Jesus faced, though. John 11, verses 3 through 21, the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I don't know how much you know about Lazarus, but Lazarus was his buddy. They were friends. I mean, they were friends. So when he says he loved Lazarus, that wasn't just, I love all people. This was someone special. Yet when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She knew who Jesus was, didn't she? You can stop death. But listen to this. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Not only did she know that God could stop death, she knew he could overcome it. Amen. Right? That's the God we serve. She knew who he was. In the midst of a storm that great, she knew who Jesus was. Do we remember that? If not, be encouraged by her story. Here's the story of Peter's storm. Because remember I told you he said and the storm was gone? Well, you got to listen to this. Acts 27, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. You know what's so interesting about storms? It gets really dark, doesn't it? And our song talked about pain in the night, but joy in the morning. There's something about darkness that just makes everything scarier, right? Because you can't see what's coming. You don't know what's ahead. It makes it a frightening experience when you don't know the outcome. But I think the older I get, the more I realize that there are a lot of things I don't want to know how they end. And there are a lot of times in my life I don't want to know what's coming next. I'm okay right now with not being the one who sees the greater picture because I don't think I'm ready to handle some of the things that we might face. And so that's okay for me to know that I can trust that no matter what comes along, God's going to be in control of the storm. But that darkness sure makes it scary when we just don't know. So we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, and we're talking weeks here, Paul said, I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told. And all the men on the ship went, yeah, woo. Okay, the food's getting to him. He hasn't had enough drink, not enough sleep. He's lost his mind. Isn't that what you'd be thinking if you'd been on a boat for 2 weeks with a guy and this storm was going to destroy you at any second and you just knew it? But Paul wasn't crazy. Well, maybe he was. Maybe we all are. That's okay. Call me crazy. Paul knew where his faith lied. He had built it on the rock. It didn't matter how bad the storm was. It didn't matter that they didn't have food. It didn't matter that they were in darkness. Paul saw the light. And that light never went out. We have to have that kind of faith in the midst of the storms we face, no matter what kind of storm it is. I'm going to ask the band to come up here as we're starting to wrap up. But you know, I will share with you that when Isabel was born, and I was listening to this song, and I just thought, man, this is her life. I think the biggest fear that John and I have always had for her has not been the surgeries, maybe not even the kids that she's going to face or the people who are going to be goofy, you know, because there's goofy people out there. I hope that she uses what's been given to her to realize how great God is and how much he gave her and how much other people don't have in their lives. You know, we encourage her all the time with the idea that, hey, there are kids who are born without arms and hands and legs and they would give anything for what you've got. And I hope that she's going to see this as a great thing that will lead her closer to God, and that this will be where she places her foundation, is in him, because it would be too easy for her to say, how could he do this to me? Look at my life. And I encourage you to focus on the people around you, whether it's physical or emotional, and help them not take that last path with their life. Help them to see that the storm does not have to be something that washes them away. The storm is something that can build them up and keep them prepared for anything that they face and make them more usable by God. So here are your action steps for this week. What storm are you riding out? I jokingly said at the beginning, the first service, that we could name at least one or two or three, or, you know, we could keep counting. We all have storms. All you need to do this week is remember that he's there. And if you don't know what to pray for, just say, give me courage. Maybe send me a friend that I'm willing to lean on. Just start with that. And he's going to meet you there. And if you feel like he's asleep at the wheel, check out some storm stories. Turn off the TV. These storm chasers have nothing on Abraham when he's laying Isaac on the altar, thinking he's the sacrificial lamb. Okay? They have nothing. And you like war? Check out David. Man, he's got some great battles. Or maybe you just like fishing. Well, go check out the fishermen in the New Testament. Watch how they weathered the storms. They weathered those storms, and maybe you like those quickie diet kind of things. Go to Hebrews 11. There's everybody who was really, really faithful, all jammed in a few verses. Give you your like volt dose of encouragement right there, okay? That's why we have the Bible. That's why people have gone before us and weathered storms, so that we can be encouraged through them. And lastly, don't panic or give up. Do you see all the people around you? We're all walking through life together. Same storms hurt us, just in different ways. And we all have to find ways to move on, see God through them. And we can help each other do that. So take the time this week to help someone do that, or to let someone help you. You know, we've been setting up now for a couple weeks for VBS. In case you didn't know, VBS is next week. Come out and join the fury. But we've been setting up, and so kids have been here helping us, and they come up and they have to play with the wheel, because this is really cool, Lisa Randall, wherever you ran off to. Way to go on all the decorations. You're going to kill me later, so it was nice knowing you all. But this is so much fun. Wouldn't you just love to be a kid again and come up and play with the wheel? And awesome. Yeah, Mickey, you'd like that, wouldn't you? So they just have a great time, because it's good to be in control and pretend like you're steering the ship. And, you know, sometimes, though, God's calling us in the midst of the storm to just let the wheel spin. Just let it go. You can't steer that ship. You got to let go so I can take charge. He's in control of the storms, folks, no matter how hard we fight it. Because you can pull that wheel in the midst of a storm, and that boat is not going to go the direction you want it to go if the wind is strong enough. But God can calm the wind and the sea and any other storm. So let it spin. And see where you go. And find him in the midst of it. But no matter what you do this week, go and find God. Remember him in the midst of your storm. Encourage somebody to do the same. Go this week and be blessed. Amen.